Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host. We can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. I want to welcome everybody back to the show. It's been a few weeks, quite a while since the last show. Just had a lot of seeking the Lord, and just He's been just opening up understanding that I really struggled to even get my arms around to be able to speak, you know, to teach in a way that will be of value, you know. But I just wait until I get release from Him based on clarity. You know, I've always been real careful about, you know, putting out, information without being sure. And it's kind of one of the benefits of doing these podcasts. We're not on any type of schedule. And it's a blessing because, really dangerous to, you know, put out something that you aren't sure of or whatever because you're trying to meet a quota or whatever, you know, and all that stuff that can happen. But I'm fortunate to not have to deal with that. And this is the reason there has been kind of a break here in the studies, because you know that over the last two monologue shows on the introduction to essentially the book of Zechariah, as we're taking a look at the branch. It's really very, very profound, important material that the Lord's given us in His, you know, preserved written word that, I haven't heard it taught correctly, for at least from what I'm seeing and understanding in Scripture. It's just blowing my mind. I'm just going to start working through this in a way that hopefully it'll be of benefit to you. And I'm just praying that, the Lord uses this podcast ministry to, accomplish His purpose in this little portion of the church that He's given us, the influence that we all have on the people in our lives, you the listeners are out there sharing the truth. Hope and we're trusting the Lord that it spreads, and Scripture is clear that it does spread. But then we also question, where are we? Where are we in this scheme of things? But all that's coming clear, more and more clear, at a time when we're under such a tremendous challenge as far as the false doctrine that we've had to, that we come across and come up against so deeply ingrained in our minds. Those of us with a church background have just spent so much time just unlearning some of the stuff that's mistaught by the the shepherds that have caused my people to forget their resting place, you know, and as these false doctrines have so heavily influenced the house of God, that you know, it just becomes so overwhelming that you don't know where to start. And really, this show is going to be pretty eye-opening as far as that goes, because you know what you see today now is really what you see in God doing is speaking. He's getting his truth out. You know, the word never returns void, and really, this internet has been such a, who would have ever thought, you know, 20 years ago, that this is how things would have ended up as far as ministry goes, and the gospel being you know, preached. But with this World Wide Web, as far reaching as it is, ironically, you know, Satan has certainly you know, staked his claim as the prince of the power of the air. But you know, fortunately, the truth is also you know, present, as much as Satan attempts to delude and distort the truth, the truth does continue to go out. But ironically, at a time when we've got these mega churches with 7,000, 10,000, 12,000 members, you know, bringing in, you know, tithe offerings for a weekend of $600,000, you know, we're hearing about Joel Osteen having a burglary at his church where $600,000 in cash was stolen, which amounted to the take. That's what we're, I heard somebody say that in reference to what you'd say at a gambling casino. You know, basically the gaming committee should basically be monitoring this stuff as they do in these casinos. But it's just, you know, what the Lord's doing is, you know, it says that the mountains melt like wax, you know, and these are the religious high places that are crumbling. And we're seeing the Lord, you know, as you know, he's slowly dealing with this false religious system in his timing, as these mountains do crumble. And whatever's going to come out of this, it's just an example of what we're up against today with this corporate beast religious system that has you know, come to this level of control that you know, sometimes it's just overwhelming. But at the same time, what I was saying, you know, the Lord is getting his truth out, ironically, through these random blogs, Facebook posts, emails, what have you, by his servants. And you know, it's encouraging to be a part of it. And you know, our continual prayer is to pray that we are accounted worthy to escape these things. And the things that the Lord is teaching us about escaping is the deception of you know, false doctrine, false teaching that has pretty much taken over, you know, the visible church. And we're going to dig into some scripture today that's going to, and my point here is that we're seeing many voices being raised up, and they're speaking out against what they're seeing on one level or another. And we have to understand something very important here, though, and that is the fact that this is all part of God's perfect plan, and this is exactly the way that he's designed it. As we're, this show today will take what we've discovered, whatever, a year ago or more, just the when the Lord took us into what Habakkuk was prophesying and what Peter had recognized, or no, excuse me, Paul, when he realized that this is what the prophets spoke of as a work that it, if it were told you, you wouldn't believe it. And it truly is unbelievable. But this is how the Lord has chosen to redeem his people, in that he allows his house to be completely infiltrated by false teaching, by deception, lies, false shepherds that cause his people to forget their resting place, and on and on. I mean, scripture is just, it's basically the theme of the scripture in metaphor once you pick up on it. These, you know, random warnings that the corporate church takes so lightly, with the thought that, well, this doesn't affect us because we're not my church, because my pastor's so nice and so is his wife, and you know, we're not going to be deceived by that falling away that's coming off in the distance. But you know, unfortunately, that mentality that is basically rampant is already, it's too late. You've already been taken. You've already been taken away into captivity. You've already been taken away as slaves to Satan, as this deception it has come to such a full measure that, you know, those of us that the Lord has allowed to see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, keyword see, it's those who are given the they're given to see the mysteries of the kingdom of God, you know, as Jesus taught, it is given to you, speaking to the apostles, and you know, to others it's not given, because the truth has to be given. You know, the vision, it's a gift from God. It's a precious gift of sight. It's a metaphor, as far as it's not physical sight, it's spiritual, and it's spiritual sight to see the abomination of desolation, which means those who are accounted worthy to escape the deception, in that the Lord has given them grace to see, and those of us that have been given that gift of sight to see what is really taking place today, as you know, we do what Luke told, you know, his account of Jesus's Olivet message, that you know, admonishing us to not be entangled in the cares of this life, and for as a snare shall it come upon the face of the whole earth. Well, we're going to open up that verse tonight and take it to a new level. But as I say this, you know, we've been teaching now for, what, 4 or 5 years, different levels, made mistakes, taught false doctrine. I'm probably going to be going through correcting some of that today, as really what's happening to me now personally is I'm seeing things at a new level, just simple understanding of what's really going on. And that's the hope of this show today, is going to be, from, you know, going forward now, my heart is just continually burdened to speak the truth at a level that can be understood, but, you know, I have a burden for those who are trapped in the corporate system that are just being fed milk continually, but I also have a burden for those who have, you know, more of a biblical background, you know, as in, say, a pastor who has been through seminary, been through Bible training, you know, whatever that is. This scripture is just so amazing when you really understand what the Lord is saying, as these cryptic messages that the Lord's planted in this Bible, hidden in plain sight, in metaphor, in parable, in similitude, as the Lord gives us understanding to open this stuff up. As it says, I will do nothing, but I reveal my secret to my servants, the prophets. But he's only revealing what's already written right there. But, you know, it says in Revelation chapter 10, you know, until the mysteries of God are finished, as he reveals to his servants, the prophets. And this is what's happening right now. And it's just so important, and it's so heavy on my heart to, from this point forward, communicate truth in a way that can be understood without losing people, to those who do have the ears to hear. And I just pray the Lord shows me, gives me clarity to be able to communicate what I'm seeing in Scripture. So challenging, so astonishing when you really put it against what's been taught, what I've been taught, what I've had gotten so deeply ingrained in me, you know, concerning doctrine. And I just continue to do my best to untangle this mess of false doctrine and putting it into a format that you can understand. But it's all based on Scripture, what Scripture is really saying, and these cryptic passages that we don't understand, so we just move along. But we don't understand them because we haven't pressed in and asked the Lord to reveal them to us. And he only reveals you know, the truth to those who diligently seek him. And today we're with you know, in the remnant community, there's a lot of discussion concerning the Word of God and what people are doing with it, possibly making an idol out of the very Word of God, you know, confusing a book with God. But it's just another mystery that needs to be we need to seek the Lord on to understand. As far as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And, you know, that's the power of God that spoke, you know, the world into existence. Jesus is the Word. And then the Bible is his written Word. And we have a lot of remnant teachers speaking out against the Bible and misplacing our affection on the written Word. But we just have to seek the Lord on understanding on how to approach this, because at this time of gross darkness, mind control, deception at the level that has never even, no one's ever even thought of. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in the Olivet Discourse. It says, unless those days be shortened, because the deception is so great that there's only, the only chance that we have is a, you know, sold out relationship to the living God, seeking him in spirit and in truth. And the written Word is a part of this. It has to be, because you're not going to make it if you don't have this Word. The Lord so you know, faithfully saw to it that it would be recorded and preserved for us to navigate these times of deception. But then at the same time, we have to take that Word and what's taught concerning the old Adam and the flesh nature and kill it, let it die, because that's what we're called to do, is to allow our flesh nature to die so that our second Adam, the spirit, can live, and that we can be you know, walking in tune with the Lord and hear his voice, his still small voice, as he uses that still small voice to reveal himself to us, that we can know him, not know about him, but know him and know his voice, and know when truth is in our ears, and know when error is in front of us. And as I go on here now, and I've really, you know, praise the Lord, has taken me deep into some Scripture that I've never been, and don't know if anybody's taught this at the level that I'm seeing today. And you know, as I said, the reason that this show is, there's been such a lag between shows, because this stuff is not easy to teach, because it's just so, it comes so much against what is taught out there. But at this time now, when I don't know anybody on the internet really teaching the truth concerning end times, really, which is essentially the gospel era, but But what is really taking place right now is we've got people warning about the coming persecution, you know, the FEMA camps, and on and on and on about fear and all that. But I continue to maintain that the tribulation, we've lived through what is termed the tribulation, you know, in our lifetime, as you know, the time when the restrainer is taken out of the way, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. The bottomless pit is opened, as the restraining power of the true gospel has been all but lost in society. And that's why we see this world going to hell in a handbasket, because the restraining power of the gospel message has been so diluted into this false prosperity message of flatteries, where they've corrupted the covenant, it says in Daniel. You know, this is what we get. You know, this is the result. So we're gonna use this scripture now to really dig in to see what's really happening, and continue on now with you know, the tools we need to continue on, go forward here, and be prepared for the second coming. And so different than what has been taught in scripture. I mean, what has been taught by the seminaries, the churches, and by me, because I've put out error in the past. I'm being corrected now, that I hope, I pray that, you know, I haven't caused anybody to stumble by anything that I misspoke. But, you know, as I say, I've been on a process of learning and growing and seeking the Lord. And it's up to you to take that. And I always tell everybody that to not follow me. I just use what I'm teaching as a guideline to point you in the right direction as you seek the Lord on your own, because it's all about, you know, us seeking the Lord, you know, in our own personal, quiet relationship where we can hear His voice and not trust in any shepherd. But we take sound doctrine and we seek the Lord on it and are admonished by it if we do it in spirit and we have His Holy Spirit leading us, and we know, we have the discernment to know the difference between truth and error. So with that said, we're going to go into our Zechariah study, which is really the book of Zechariah is the whole story. It's the entire story of what God is doing. And it's quite a bit different than what's been taught in the churches, but it's very exciting for those who are in His will, those who are in God's will. And as we find our place in this plan of God, and as we speak out against apostasy, error being taught in the church, we come to the realization that this is all part of God's plan. It's for His purpose. And with that, we're going to jump into our study. I'm going to start out the show with some random verses that have come clear over the last since the last show that I just want to put out there, and then it'll lead us into you know, the show, the study of Zechariah and where the Lord is taking us. But I'm going to read out of Revelation chapter 13. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. Now we have to realize that Satan was bound at the cross. And in Scripture tells us that he is released for a little season at the end of the gospel era. It's a very important doctrine because it's completely misunderstood. Why? Because it's happening right now. See, this is what's happening. You know, this is why in the last 40 years, we've just seen evil just take over, you know, as the spirit of Antichrist has now come to the full. The spirit of Antichrist that was at work at the time of John in the gospel, I mean, in the epistles. But as the mystery of iniquity, you know, continues to work, and it continues to work, the leaven continues to work its way through the whole loaf, you know, until it comes to the full, until the transgressors come to the full, the transgressors of the false teachers who have a king over them, as it says in Revelation chapter 9, and this king over them is the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist. It's the anti-Christian church that through these miracles had power to do in the sight of the beast. And it's about them that dwell on the earth. You know, we've gone over this and over this. It's about the earth dwellers, them who inhabit the earth, and then there's those who are redeemed from the earth. These are the two kinds of people. We have people that are redeemed from the earth, and we have people that are dwelling on the earth. And with that said, that sets us up for Revelation 13:15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not obey, not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this image of the beast is this reflection of Christ. That's not Christ. It's the false Christ. And that's the image of the beast. It's the false God that we create in our own minds, made in our own image, is essentially what we're doing. But we see here, this is a key understanding that I'm sharing here, in that this word life, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Well, this word life is pneuma. And this is the only time in the New Testament it's translated the word life. It's usually translated the word spirit. And, you know, in the definition it says figuratively a spirit. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, life, spirit. This is the spirit life that is translated as in Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and the lightning upon him. And also in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, this word Spirit is the same word as life that we see in Revelation 13. So we're seeing clearly that the false prophet has ability to give life, in other words, a false Holy Spirit to this beast. And this is what we're seeing, because we've got these churches that are testifying to, oh, the Lord's moving in our church, and on and on, and they just don't realize that this is not God. It's the counterfeit. And it's because these people are allowing their shepherds to lead them astray, as we'll continue to see in Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. But we realize in Revelation 20, verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. See, that bound 1,000 years is a metaphor. And that's the 1,000 years that the gospel message was allowed to spread since the cross, since the deadly wound. Satan received his deadly wound at the cross when he was wounded by the sword. And the sword was when Jesus said, it is finished. And that word, you know, restrained Satan as the gospel message was now, you can debate whether it was at the time when Christ, you know, gave up his ghost, or when he resurrected, when it was, if it was Pentecost, but it doesn't matter. The point is, the gospel message of grace, salvation through grace, salvation through the power of God influencing the heart, was now available, made available. And that message that was spread throughout the world kept Satan restrained in the bottomless pit enough to that he wasn't able to deceive and to allow the gospel message to be received. So we've got Revelation 20 verse 3, and they cast him into the bottomless pit, his prison, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. See, this little season is this time of the end that we are in now, and this is there's no question that we are in the time of the end. And Revelation 20 verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, when we talk about what's taught in the church about the 1,000 years and some future event that happens after the second coming, and you know, as it says, in Timothy, that they will turn from the truth and believe fables. Well, everything that's been taught in the corporate church basically is a fable, you know, concerning the 1,000 years, concerning most doctrine. But the 1,000 years are so important but so misunderstood. But it says in Revelation 20 verse 8, after the bottomless pit is opened, that Satan shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. This is gigantic, okay? Because this is where we are. And this is the Gog-Magog war. It says in Daniel that the end will be as a flood and a war, likened as the same thing, the flood of deception that goes upon the face of the whole earth. And this is the Gog-Magog war, as the Lord allows his own church to judge itself, as the Gog-Magog event is the rise of the false prophets in the house of God that are the means by which God judges his house. It's beautiful. It's the most poetic irony that I've ever seen, and it's happening right now. And scripture is absolutely clear, detailed about how this looks. And we're gonna look at this right now. And as I've been trying to work methodically through the book of Zechariah, I can't. I still have to kind of pop around. But we're gonna work through it, however long it takes, and go over it and over it until we get it, until we've got this stuff down, because it's just vital that we understand what's really happening. As these random verses that we've read and haven't understood are going to become clear. And if they're going to come clear today in this show, I don't know. I'm going to try, and then I'll just keep trying until I have release from the Lord to know that, you know, I've communicated this. And I'm just praising him now because I have release now for this show, which I haven't had. And I can't speak unless I'm sure about things, and I've got enough here now to do what I'm doing. And I just, I'm praying and hoping that I can communicate to you guys clearly and, concisely what I'm trying to teach. And with that, I'm going to continue now. As we're studying Zechariah and the branch, which is really the theme of the book of Zechariah, it takes us to Jeremiah chapter 23, which is another portion of scripture that teaches us about the branch. And that verse, that chapter begins with that verse I said a little while ago. I'll read it again. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Okay, well, there's some real key words going on in there. First off, we can't forget the fact that this is the Lord God of Israel, and of all false doctrines present today, It's the truth about Israel and about who Israel is, and those that Scripture shows are the destroyers of thine heritage in the corporate church today doesn't know that it's Israel, and that the Bible is the book, the account of the Lord dealing with his people, Israel. And it's the entire story from the beginning to the end. And the church has taken this thing and in the middle of it all, split it up and made a mess out of it, in that is mistaught the truth about God's people, Israel, and their identity, and is basically the foundation of all apostasy. But the Lord is now restoring. He's healing the hurt of that misunderstanding as the key factor to all remnant followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is their understanding of the truth of who they are. And they know that they are Israel, that they are spiritual Israel, the Israel of God. They are a member of the Commonwealth of Israel. Why? Because they're born again. Just as Paul told the Ephesians, if you are not born again, you are not part of the Commonwealth of Israel. The Commonwealth is a covenant people. A Commonwealth is a people bound together by a covenant. And as we continue on in Jeremiah, where the prophet told us that the Lord will make a new covenant with the house of Israel in that day, and he will write the laws on their inward parts, and they will have circumcised hearts, and everything in that day, which is the time after the cross, is the transition from physical to spiritual, as the understanding translates from the physical events that took place in the Old Testament as the similitudes, the examples for our admonition today, the New Testament. And these deep, profound physical teachings become spiritual in the last days. And it's written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world has come, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I just read out of Jeremiah 23, and it says, woe unto these pastors, these shepherds that have not visited the flock. It's talking about the same thing in Zechariah chapter 11. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit them that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up. His right eye shall be utterly darkened. Well, this idle shepherd is the Antichrist. It's the anti-Jesus, the fake counterfeit Jesus that is running the show at the end. And here we are. It's today. And the book of Zechariah is such a clear picture of this whole story, how this thing plays out, as the prophecy from Haggai about the glory of the latter house is greater than the former house. And as we're seeing this whole thing coming to the full, coming together, it's just so amazing, just so mind-boggling and so clear how it goes, how it has worked itself out thus far, and where we're headed, where this thing continues, as we are, in the final throes of the Lord's plan, as he redeems a people to himself that will spend eternity with him, a place that he's prepared, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, what he has prepared for those that love him. But these are the ones who overcome everything we're talking about here. and you cannot overcome this, you know, being subject to the leadership in the corporate system, because that's part of the plan, as the Lord is about his work, his strange work, his strange act. What is that? Well, we already know what it is at one level, but as this study continues, we're going to go to a whole other level, understanding the key part that this all plays in God's perfect plan. Very exciting. I'm going to continue now. Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day the Lord shall, in that day the Lord with his sore and great sword. Now this is, you know, referencing sore is the four sore judgments. And we'll see a little bit more in Ezekiel how this is playing out. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Well, that is the beast out of the sea. And this is the beast that the beast out of the earth causes them that dwell on the earth to follow. And Leviathan is pride and its all-encompassing scope of power and influence. As the beast that rises up out of the sea, pride overcomes the heart of man. But as we continue on with you know, understanding the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth and their inner workings, as their relationship, you know, it's a relationship, as the false prophet causes the earth dwellers to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. And you know, the simplest way to understand that is the beast, the dragon, which is the religious political system that killed the very Messiah that they were waiting for, as the pride of man rose up to the level that it did at the time of the first coming, in the fullness of time, as you know, Scripture says, as the transgressors come to the full, and as this beast, flesh, power, man, you know, gone into perdition, becomes so blinded by pride and hypocrisy, as the individual, on an individual level, and then as a corporate level, as the religious system of the scribes and Pharisees was at the point of utter blindness, that the very Messiah that they had been waiting for, they should have known by their understanding of Scripture and their hearts, but their own pride had blinded them to the point that they executed him, the very Messiah that they were waiting for. And on the ultimate level, this is the abomination of desolation. This is the abomination that left the house of God desolate. As it says in Daniel, that in the last verse of Daniel chapter 9, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And what that's saying is that after the cross, the Lord left the whole house desolate. Jesus said, I'll leave your house desolate. And the overspreading of abomination is this abomination continues to the consumption, even to the consummation, the finishing up of things, as the Lord is now about his work of building his church. This is what it said previously, that he will restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince. But the Jerusalem that he's building is a spiritual house. It's Jerusalem above. And even though Jerusalem above is being built, it's being built in troublesome times. Troublous is the word in Daniel. Troublous times. And this abomination that comes that from the point of the cross forward is upon the face of the whole earth. And this is something that's hard to understand at a time that the what's perceived as the Christian church is presented as this glorious entity where people are experiencing this prosperity and joy and peace that doesn't reconcile with what Scripture is teaching. So what's wrong with that? Well, it's because this beast that received its deadly wound, this Leviathan, this piercing serpent, that crooked serpent that rose to power at the time of Christ's first coming, it comes back. The deadly wound is healed. And this beast out of the sea, Leviathan, pride, rises back to power. And it's this beast is Satan sitting in his seat of authority, as it says in Revelation chapter 13. But now, in the New Testament era, the beast has an associate, and that's the false prophet, which is the false church. It's the false religious system that causes the earth dwellers to wander after the first beast whose deadly wound is healed. So now we've got this twofold nature of evil going on that we're dealing with in our day, in the New Testament era. And this false religion began at the time of the apostles, as we saw in the book of Acts, when Paul recognized what was happening with Elymais, the doing mischief, causing mischief, with false teaching. And Paul immediately realized that this was what Habakkuk was warning about, this work, that if told you, you wouldn't believe it. And it's talking about the invasion of the Assyrian invasion. And that Assyrian invasion is a metaphor for false teachers, an army of false teachers that comes. And in the New Testament era, this is a spiritual army of false religion that enters in and takes away the captives, takes Israel captive. Only in the New Testament is Israel is a spiritual house, a spiritual body. So this whole similitude of Babylon and the northern tribes being scattered, see, this thing all replays in the spiritual. And this is going to be the crux of our study as we continue, as we understand the truth about what is really happening today and what happened from the time of the cross, when the Lord set the plumb line in the midst of his people Israel. And that plumb line was Jesus Christ, and that plumb line was the cross, and everything is governed, is measured by that event that was the focal point of the entire universe, the day that Christ was crucified on the cross, that the atonement was made for sin, and through faith and belief in the Savior, we can experience salvation and be saved from our sin and be saved from death and be given life. But I read in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, about this. That's the beginning of the chapter about Leviathan, and that chapter ends with, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and he shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." Well, this is the story of the New Testament. This is what we're doing. The Lord is gathering his flock, the children of Israel, and these are the people who were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts of Egypt. These are the dead bodies lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt, as it says in the New Testament. These are those who were almost died in the apostate church. That's what this is saying. And that the Lord is about the business of gathering his flock that have been scattered by the false shepherds, by their lies. And we are seeing today the Lord gathering his elect from the four winds, ironically through the use of this internet, and he's gathering them through the truth. As those who have passed under the shepherd's rod, one at a time. That's what the shepherd, you know, a couple months ago, I posted that archive show from Randy Moggins, you know, an old friend that unfortunately today has gone into perdition as he, whatever happened to our dear friend Randy, at a time when he was really preaching the truth, put out an excellent show, one of his early shows about the shepherd's rod and the truth about the shepherd, that the sheep pass under the rod of the shepherd one by one as they're inspected. And the shepherd puts a mark on the good sheep. And this is exactly the picture, the similitude the Lord's giving us as he is gathering his sheep one by one. And he's marking them with the mark of God, sealing them. And this is how we see this end up, as we see in Revelation chapter 7, 14, the tribes that are regathered, the scattered tribes that were scattered at the breakup of Solomon's kingdom, and the references in Scripture to them being regathered at the end. Well, this is the story. This is the story the Lord's given us, and probably more concise and clear as in the book of Zechariah, as we see the account of the gathering of the elect from the four winds. And understanding this is really important, because it's going to be a foundational truth that gives us the tools to navigate, you know, what we're the water, the troublesome waters, as Johnny Cash sings, as we navigate these tumultuous times. And I'm going to continue on in Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And there's the elders of Israel. And we see the 24 elders in the book of Revelation. And our friend Richard Layman put that together a while back, where the 24 elders are the 12 elders of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. You know, as part of what God's doing, they're in glory. You know, these 24 elders, you know, symbolic of the Old Testament and New Testament. And this is, you know, what Ezekiel is telling us in chapter 14. I'll continue on later on in the chapter. And all these verses, these are just this, there's just too much to do in one show. But I'm giving you these portions of Scripture that do all connect, and encourage you to continue on in your own studies as you dig into this word yourself. As you understand, you know, what God's really about, what he's doing, what he's really doing, and where do you fit into it. Ezekiel 14:21, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem. Well, this is what's happening now. Jerusalem's the church, and the four sword judgments are upon us. The sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doing, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord. That is a gigantic portion of Scripture. It says that the Lord is going to pour out his four sword judgments upon Jerusalem. He has. We're in the midst of this now. But he is going to preserve a remnant that shall be brought forth. Well, this is the two witness church. This is the remnant that is testifying the truth during this time of gross apostasy. The Lord always preserves his remnant. And this is what's taking place right now with us, as we are spreading this word. And this is the process that we're seeing so clearly taught to us in the book of Zechariah, and Ezekiel's giving account of it as well, as we see the account in the book of Zechariah of the two witnesses as they are about the business of leading the sheep out of Babylon on the road to Zion. And we're talking about leading people out of captivity at a time when the masses have been taken captive. They've been taken captive by the sword. And what's the sword? Well, the sword is the mouth that's as smooth as butter, that has war in his heart. And this is the false teacher, the false prophet, the idle shepherd that is causing God's people to go astray. You know, the woe to the pastors that woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. You know, these are the false teachers that have caused the flock to be scattered. And just as a heads up for where we are today, so clearly we see on the scene, you know, three clear movements in Christianity that we can trace, you know, these false doctrines to. Number one, I refer to as the Moody movement, which is, you know, Moody Radio has a, you know, stranglehold on the minds of the committed Christians. You know, these are the sound doctrine of the day presented by Moody Radio, who is, you know, known for their integrity and wisdom, but are in just gross error. As, you know, D.L. Moody was on the board of the Scofield, you know, Study Bible, which was the foundation of the great apostasy, as spiritual Israel has forgotten their resting place. I mean, they've forsaken their heritage, and the whole dispensational mindset that came out of the work of the Scofield Bible, as Satan has successfully separated Jew and Gentile again in these last days. And in this category, I associate the Reformed theologians and the Calvin and Augustinian-based theology, you know, that we're saved in our sins. Once saved, always saved. We make an altar call and we're saved. And then there's the other movement we associate with the signs and wonders, you know, the Bethel, IHOP movements that today, as the transgressors come to the full, as this thing continues to grow and build and wax worse and worse, you know, we've got this movement sucking, grave sucking. That's the latest thing, where they go to the graves of the anointed, quote unquote, preachers of the past, and they, you know, attempt to have their anointing pass along to them. You know, this is at a time when the Lord just made things so clear to us. You know, this is the locust army, the army of 200,000 horsemen, and the trumpet judgments. You know, we know that we're, you know, blow ye the trumpet, we just read in Ezekiel. And or in Isaiah, I should say. We're in the trumpet judgments, and these are the serpents and scorpions that ascend out of the bottomless pit, the locust army. And we've got a, you know, a character associated with this Bethel IHOP movement, Todd Bentley, who is basically the mascot of this leg of apostasy, who has Joel's locust army tattooed to his chest. So, I mean, this is at a time when, you know, it's just so obvious, so clear, where the Lord, you know, is making it so clear to his remnant what's taking place. But in a time, you know, of mass mind control through, you know, 60 years of electronic deception, you know, few can see it because they're just so brainwashed in trusting the idol shepherds because they haven't been weaned from milk, you know, as it says in the Olivet Discourse, you know, woe to them that give suck in those days. In other words, those who are still sucking on the breast, that are still, you know, living on the milk, and you know, they're not equipped to overcome. They're not equipped to escape these things that are upon us. And then we've got the prosperity movements associated with the Joel Osteens and the Rick Warrens. You know, again, another metaphor. Probably the dominant prosperity false prophet on the land today is named Joel. You know, and that's no accident. And the Lord makes this stuff so clear for those that have eyes to see. But as we continue on, you know, this here we go again. You know, this is the third show in the series titled The Branch, the teaching in the book of Zechariah, as the branch is the two witness church that grows, that comes forward, the type and shadow of the royal priesthood, Joshua the high priest, Zerubbabel the governor in line to be king, the line of David, as the symbolism behind the two witness church, as the Lord's means to spread his gospel, the good news of salvation. And this is the third show in the series, and we haven't even really started in the book of Zechariah, but we will, and it's just going to be an exciting journey, as you know, many weeks, as many shows as it takes. And I'm you know, released now with clarity to move forward. So I'm expecting a steady stream of shows now in the weeks to come to bring this stuff together, as we are attempting to navigate we're attempting to navigate the tribulation, the indignation of the Lord, you know, which we are in. Make no mistake, we are in that time period where the Lord is about his business of gathering his flock. And to pick up in Jeremiah 23, where we left off, this is verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them that shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. This is the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 23, where he is introducing us to this branch, this righteous branch, and we're going to attempt to understand this branch to its fullest. And I'm going to close out the show today with this very key portion of scripture that I'm going to read to you next. But this portion of scripture is just so important. It's so vital. And I don't know how we missed it. I mean, this is what's so astonishing to me, and why these shows have taken so long, because this is just so important and so big, but so misunderstood. And do I have it all down? No, I don't. But I've got enough now that we can get this thing rolling here. And this whole study in the book of Zechariah, and where it takes us into Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, as the prophet Haggai prophesied, and as Zechariah said that the Lord is raised up out of his holy habitation, you know, to perform this work. And what is this work? You know, it's just so amazing as we get a hold of what the Lord is really doing. But we have to understand, and we will understand these next two verses by the time this study is over. And believe me, this is probably the most important verse that we can really get a hold of as we continue on in what God is actually doing here with us as he gathers his flock. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Okay, now that verse is so powerful when you understand what it's really saying and how vital and important that is to the Lord's work, what he's doing, as he is gathering the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. What does that mean? Well, we're going to find out what that means. You know, that's what the Lord is doing as he is gathering his elect from the four winds. And we are all joining him in Zion as we see the account in the book of Zechariah. We see it foretold here in Jeremiah chapter 23. It's also in Jeremiah chapter 33, of which right between that is the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30. And we see this whole process of the Lord, you know, redeeming his people Israel, as the account of Israel that he brought up out of the land of Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea. And now at the end, he is gathering the seed of this house of Israel out of the north country where he scattered them. And this is key foundational doctrine that I don't know if it's taught anywhere. I mean, you know, there are guys that are seeing it and touching upon it. And our friend Jason down there at Market Street Fellowship is really, his teaching has helped me put a lot of the pieces together, where Jason made so clear the event of the cross as the event that was the judgment of all mankind. And as we, in this prosperity, entitlement, mentality, Christianity that we've all grown up in, the truth of that fact has been so distorted and so twisted by this strange act that the Lord is doing. But as we see the process of the false teachers, the shepherds scattering the Lord's flock, but he gathers them back together. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that there's a key element to the Lord's perfect plan that's underway that so few understand. And as we look at the context of the book of Zechariah, in that we have the connection to Revelation chapter 11 and the two witnesses. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep." Well, this is what happens to us, as we are awakened out of our sleep. And we become the two witnesses, as we become the royal priesthood. The process of salvation that we are on, we become this branch. We become this two witness branch of truth that the Lord uses. You know, the seven pipes of the seven lamps that are going out to the churches. And stick with me here real quick. That was Zechariah chapter 4, where we understand the two witnesses, and we're just touching upon it now. This is an overview introduction where we're headed with this study, but this will just, I pray, pique your interest. But we've got the branch in Zechariah chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 6. We've got it in Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 33. Well, the branch is the church. It's the manifold wisdom of God that is spread. The word branch is referencing the manifold, the flowing of the, as the branch on a tree flows the sap out to the, you know, the leaves and all that picture that's going on there. This is the picture of the branch, is that's the truth, the mechanism. It's the house of Israel that spreads the gospel throughout the world as the scattered flock is out amongst the heathen, spreading the manifold wisdom of God. And this is the story in the book of Zechariah, is the true church is spreading the gospel. But that's in chapter 4 of Zechariah. We see Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah 5:1, "Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on this that side according to it. And they will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house as a thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of this house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof." And I'm going to stop right there for today. But this is the thief that enters into the house. This flying roll. Actually, I need to continue on, because the key word here is, "This is an ephah that goeth forth." The ephah is the measure, okay? The ephah is the measure of which God measures his house. And this ephah, this flying roll, that is a curse that goeth forth. This curse is false religion. This curse is apostasy. This curse is Mystery Babylon that goes forward at the same time the true church goes forward. And we see in verse 9 it says, "And behold, there came out two women." This is two women. This is the church, true Israel, and this is the harlot. And these two forces go out. This is Christ, and this is Antichrist, that go forward after the judgment, after the cross, after the plumb line is set in the midst of my people. Blessings and curses. And we have this curse that goes about out upon the face of the whole earth. This curse is the snare, as it says in Luke chapter 21. "For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." The snare is false religion. The snare is a false Christianity that goes forward at the same time that the true gospel goes forward. And what we're really going to see is the account of this amazing work, this work that if told you, you wouldn't believe it, when the Lord is raised up out of his holy habitation, and for the purpose of measuring his flock, he uses lies, deception, and false religion to measure as the plumb line, working hand in hand with Jesus, as Jesus is the plumb line that is measured against the lies, the walls built with untempered mortar, if you will, as the analogy of the building process is going on, taking place here. And as we see the working of this branch going forward, and the amazing truth that the fact that the Lord uses false religion that has now come to the full, and that the entire house is run by thieves, and the fact that there's two groups of people here, there's everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, and then everyone that sweareth falsely shall be cut off. Now these are the two groups that we also see in Revelation 9. As we see in Revelation 9, the liars, and we see the ones worshiping things made with hands. So these are the two groups. These are the serpents, scorpions, identity that are the dominant force, serpents and scorpions that are off the narrow path of those who are following after the Lord. and we can be so easily be entangled in the snares, in the thorns and briars of this life, and it's by no accident. And while these Christians are waking up as a man awakened from his sleep, and we're speaking out against this apostasy that we're seeing, at whatever level, I have my church friends that I encounter that know something's wrong, but they dare not consider that this is all part of God's perfect plan. And this thing that they perceive as something wrong in their church is, in fact, Mystery Babylon, the harlot. Mystery Babylon, the Mystery Babylonian captivity, which is what we're in today. Captivity by the sword. As we've been led away captive by the sword of deception. And what the Lord has for us is a solution. We have victory over this deception as we pray that we're accounted worthy to escape this deception. And we see here in the book of Zechariah, chapter 5, the flying roll, which is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. And this is the false religion that we can take it back to the early church, as we saw the apostles' warning of false prophets. It began then, as it said in 2 Thessalonians, that the mystery of iniquity does already work, or that's in John, talking about Antichrist. We see that there's those who love not the truth, and for this cause, God sends strong delusion. And it began in the times of the apostles. But as this New Testament era has progressed and the gospel has been brought forward, while Satan was bound in his prison, allowing this gospel to go forth, we see this period at the end, not the way it's taught in the corporate harlot church, as this Gog-Magog event, as some mysterious future event after the thousand-year reign of Christ. It's all fables. It's all fairy tales, which is what we're doing. We're attempting to expose the fractured fairy tales of Christian doctrine, and that this curse, this which is essentially Mystery Babylon, we see as the chapter 5 of Zechariah ends up. And I'm just touching upon this tonight, folks. We'll go back into this as deeply as the Lord can take us. But the purpose of this ephah, this measure, this means of measuring, it said, this is wickedness, and he cast it into the midst of the ephah. This wickedness is the means the Lord uses to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are drawn to the lies. The sheep are drawn, the goats are drawn to the false teachers, speaking lies, speaking flatteries. And the true followers are seeking after the Lord. And it's the last verse of Zechariah chapter 5. And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established to set there upon her own base. This is talking about the false church. While the Lord is building New Jerusalem, the devil, Antichrist, is building his house in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is reference to Babylon. And it shall be established on its own base. So, very clearly, folks, what we are perceiving as something wrong in the house of God is not just a glitch. It's the false church. It's the false Babylonian Antichrist church that looks just like the real church to those without discernment. But it's at this time as the Lord is using this as his means of measure, as we've said over and over again, the threshing floor, as he separates the wheat from the chaff, using the threshing floor of deception to separate his flock. And though we've been teaching this for years, it's just becoming more and more clear as absolutely the key part to the Lord's work, the Lord's strange work, the work that if told us we wouldn't believe it, how the Lord has used this system of truth and error, of led by the Spirit and led by deception, that Jesus so clearly warned us about over and over, very rarely heard of anything taught in the churches, always as a future event, watch out, but it won't happen to us because Jesus loves us and we're washed in the blood, and all this, you know, stuff that is taken so out of context and mistaught given those in the church, you know, such a false sense of security. But it's all so clear because it's exactly what the, Jeremiah had told us. And you know, we read that incredibly vital truth about the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. This is referring to the church that is led out of the north country, which is the metaphor of the Lord gathering his flock from the false teachers that have scattered them. This is all metaphor. It's all happening in the spiritual realm. Continue on, and I encourage you all to read Jeremiah chapter 23. But the Lord says that, therefore saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem in profaneness gone forth into all the land. This is the cup of the indignation of the Lord that was poured out without mixture. It's the wrath of God. This is the wrath of God poured out upon his house. In that he says, I will choose their delusions for them. The Lord sends strong delusion on purpose to those who don't love his truth. I'm just going to skip forward here. Verse 19, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury. This is the tribulation, the whirlwind, and gone forth in the Lord's fury, the Lord's anger, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. This is the Lord's plan as he allows his whole house to be overrun with liars. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. This is a verse that I've used so many times. And then, you know, as I'm reading along, and it always happens, you know, but as you get deeper into Scripture and make more connections, and as you grow, you know, you just realize, oh, yeah, that's where this verse is. And I'm realizing Jeremiah 23 is where the verse that I've used so many times. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. You know, and how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, the prophets of deceit of their own heart. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause thy people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. You know, going back, and I'm going to close up now. This will be it for the show. But I missed a verse in 23 that I wanted to say and basically close in. But Jeremiah 23:17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. This is the message of the church today, isn't it? The overflowing scourge shall not come unto us. We have made lies our refuge, and falsehood we have hid ourselves. Isaiah chapter 28. This is the message of the church. You've said the sinner's prayer, you're in. Once saved, always saved. You know, no evil will come upon you. Peace. And this is what we have. This is the false prophets following the imaginations of their own heart. The bottomless pit of man's imagination. You can see a connection there, a metaphor there. But we have to understand that as those of us that have been given the gift of sight, have been accounted worthy to escape the deception, the captivity. It's coming at a time. It's coming at a time when there's such gross darkness on the land. And we have to understand that this is not an accident, that this isn't just like something that God missed. We have to understand this is God's perfect will, his written word being carried out until the words of the prophets are fulfilled. And this is the plan the Lord has laid into action as he, in Zechariah chapter 3, rises up out of his holy habitation to perform his work. And this work is the work of redemption, that he judged his people Israel, set the plumb line, and from that point forward, the point of the cross, the physical land has been left desolate. It's a desolate wasteland, and it doesn't get better. It doesn't get fixed. We could have healed Babylon. She is not healed. Jerusalem is above. My kingdom is not of this world. And this is stuff we can't forget. And we have to understand that we are about the business of looking for those whose heart is perfect towards God and drawing them to the Father by the truth that we speak. The Lord uses our words to draw people unto himself. And this is our work, our mission, as the Lord does it, not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit. As he's allowed us to be a part of his building of New Jerusalem. We are built into the walls of New Jerusalem. And as we see the pattern of the two witness church, the branch, the truth of the Holy Spirit being ministered, his manifold wisdom being made known through the church, it grows to the point that the church, as it continues on its journey, is perfected in that it becomes the 144,000, the gathered tribes of Israel, the gathered spiritual tribes, the ultimately resulting in the 144,000 as those on Mount Zion with the Lord as the perfected saints. And essentially what the 144,000 are the two witnesses as they become perfected, as they are perfected, and they become the completed church, the completed house of God, the redeemed Israel, as those are redeemed from the earth, that those that are earth dwellers are no longer earth dwellers. They are marked by the shepherd, with the mark of God, as they pass under the shepherd's rod and are inspected, and they are marked. And they are accounted worthy to escape. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is essentially they are given sight. They are given sight to see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And they flee. They flee Babylon, and they are on the road to Zion, it says in Jeremiah chapter 50. And these are the people that have been led astray by the shepherds that have caused them to forget their resting place. Jeremiah chapter 50. And we're on the road to Zion, Jerusalem above. This is all happening in the spiritual realm, and it's happening right now. As the Lord is gathering his elect from the four winds, gathering his tribes, this is the church, the 144,000, a symbolic number of the 12 apostles, the apostles and prophets as the foundation of the walls of New Jerusalem, with the chief cornerstone, Jesus, and we as his lively stones built into the walls. And the New Testament, the book of Zechariah, is the story of the Lord building his house, allowing thieves and robbers to come in, but he purges them, purges his house, and purifies his house as at the end it is built up of lively stones, perfected saints, ruling and reigning with him for all eternity. This is the story in the book of Zechariah. We're going to continue into more detail and to the point when the Lord returns on the Mount of Olives, which is this deep metaphor as the Lord splits the mountains and the spiritual high places come down as the mountains melt like wax. And shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us in his ways, and we will walk in his paths. From out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Well, this is it. Here we are. We're in the New Testament era, and the Lord has been building his house since the time of the cross. Since before that, since the Babylonian captivity, as the glory of the former house, which was the kingdom of David, Solomon, that went bad, was destroyed, and then it's rebuilt into the spiritual house. The former house, the glory of the latter house is greater than the former house. And it's my hope in these studies that are going to continue now to reach the lost in the church, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the church, as the Lord is wandering to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. And it's our call to find our place in this. And I just am thankful that everybody's still hanging with us. And until next time, I just pray that the Lord continues to keep you as you endure to the end. And this is Chris Ardern from Sound Doctrine saying goodbye.